FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
So we ask John Malcolm to join us this morning. Of course, Vice President of the Institute for Constitutional Government and Director of the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at Heritage. And John, good morning to you.
Great to be with you.
Thanks for giving us some time so early in the morning. I know you've got a travel day today.
You had to, but I'm happy to be with you.
Yeah, good. So what is your take on the statute? Does the president have the statutory authority to order an emergency here?
Well, it depends on what statutes he cites. So let's start with first principles. He has a little bit of constitutional authority in this area, and under Article 2, he's our commander-in-chief. And Article 4 gives him an obligation to protect the states against an invasion, and, you know, he began to make the case that the dramatic influx of illegal immigrants is flooding and, you know, overwhelming our immigration system, so you might try to characterize this as an invasion. Then there is the National Emergencies Act. The National Emergencies Act, all it does is provide a procedure once the president declares a national emergency. Once he declares a national emergency, he has to notify Congress that he has done so, what that emergency is, why it's an emergency, and then he has to provide any other statutory authority that he is relying upon to do what it is he wants to do. There are, according to the Brennan Center, 136 statutes in the books, some dealing specifically with military construction projects, that say this is what the president can do and under what circumstances once he declares a national emergency. So I think the answer is probably yes, but there is no question once he does so, that the Democrats or somebody is going to race to court to challenge this, to say that this is, in Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi's words, a manufactured crisis, that this isn't really an emergency, and therefore he lacks the statutory authority to do anything about it.
So for the portions of that would require him to inform Congress of why he did it and what he's doing, do they have advice and consent, or is he satisfied the statute if he simply informs them?
He's satisfied the statute once he informs them, but there are things that they can do. Congress can, by resolution, basically declare that national emergency void. However, it's just like a law. They would have to pass that resolution by both houses of Congress, and the president would have to agree with them. If not, they could override his veto. But if they did override his veto, that would end the national emergency. The National Emergencies Act also has a time limit on national emergencies, but the president has the ability to renew them if he wants.
Well, if you
let me give you an example. So George Bush, 3 days after 9/11, declared a national emergency. Congress ratified that a few days later, but that national emergency remains in place and has been renewed by every president, including President Trump, since then.
Wow. So it's still in effect all these years later. I didn't realize that. It sounds like the president's still trying to negotiate a little bit. He keeps threatening to do it, but he keeps saying, let's negotiate first. So I guess it may not happen as quickly as some people thought. John, while I've got you on the phone here, can we turn our attention to the Supreme Court for a moment? Because there's rampant speculation. Everybody thinks they know what's going on with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But quite frankly, I put in a Google search for her name this morning, and the stories are 2 and 3 days old now. It's like there's almost been a blackout on news about her condition, which I think is not helping with the speculation.
Well, I have no inside knowledge. Her doctor, her surgeon, appeared, I think it was on the Rachel Maddow show yesterday or the day before, and said, look, this is a serious surgery. She came through it well, but it's gonna take her a couple of weeks or more to recovery. Said, I'm much younger, I had a slightly less serious operation, I'm fine, but it took me a month at home to recover, and she might be at home for most of the month of January, but there was no reason to believe that she didn't have a great long-term prognosis. But she is 85 years old, she has a series of health problems, these were malignant tumors, she obviously has to take this seriously. She's missing oral arguments now, but she's still reading the briefs and reading the transcripts so she can participate in the decisions. And, we'll have to see how long her health continues to hold out. And the president, I'm sure there are people in the White House counsel's office who are dusting off the short list in case there was a vacancy.
Yeah. Yeah, I read the Politico article yesterday where they've put people on alert that they may need to review their short list. We know who some of those names are, so that'll be interesting. If indeed there's movement in that area, I'd love to have you back on to discuss that.
Of course, anytime.
We'll do that. Hey, have safe travels today, John. Thank you.